The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Wednesday, October 7th. What to know today about President Trump's condition, the outbreak spreading through the White House, and what changes are in place for tonight's vice presidential debate. Also, relief negotiations have stalled, or have they? And we're keeping an eye on Hurricane Delta as it closes in on Mexico and threatens the United States. Plus, mourning a rock and roll legend, the new name for what's now called Eskimo Pies, and the winning team of a history-making championship game. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, so far, it seems President Trump's COVID-19 recovery is going well. White House physician Dr. Sean Conley said President Trump has reported no COVID-19 symptoms since he was released from the hospital and returned to the White House. And Trump tweeted, "Feeling great." He also wrote that the coronavirus is less deadly than the flu. But both Twitter and Facebook blocked that post, saying it had misleading and potentially harmful information. The CDC data tells us the flu kills 12,000 to 61,000 people each year in the United States. But since February, COVID-19 has killed about 211,000 Americans, and the death toll is still going up. Also, Johns Hopkins reports doctors and scientists are working to estimate the mortality rate of COVID-19, but for now it is thought to be substantially higher than most strains of the flu. Meanwhile, the White House is struggling to control a growing outbreak within the Trump administration. The latest top official to come down with COVID-19 is Stephen Miller, who is a senior advisor to President Trump. It's not exactly clear when he contracted the virus, but CNN says now almost everyone who prepped the president for last week's debate against Joe Biden has tested positive. Of course, that debate was last Tuesday. President Trump says he was diagnosed Thursday night. So when was he first contagious? Well, we don't really know. Reporters have asked Trump's doctors when he last tested negative, but so far they haven't answered that question. Separately, top military leaders are in quarantine. They came in contact with a Coast Guard admiral who tested positive for COVID-19. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, made up of top commanders from each branch of the armed services, meet once a week, usually in a secure, windowless room in the Pentagon known as a tank. But now any meetings will have to be held remotely over a secure connection. President Trump is sending some mixed messages about the next coronavirus relief package. First, yesterday afternoon, in a surprise announcement, President Trump called on Congress to delay negotiations altogether until after Election Day, and instead focus on confirming his Supreme Court nominee. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters at the Capitol he supports Trump's decision to end negotiations. Well, it sparked both parties to blame each other for not getting a deal done. President Trump criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for wanting a $2.4 trillion aid package. Trump said too much money was going to, quote, poorly run, high-crime Democratic states, and that the money is not related to COVID-19. But top Democrats say it is connected to COVID, and Pelosi says the rash decision to end all talks shows the White House is in complete disarray. Well, just hours later, Trump tweeted again, this time urging Congress to go ahead and approve billions of dollars for airline payroll support for small businesses and for more direct payments that would send $1,200 to most Americans. So now it sounds like he does want a deal, but a slimmed down version of a relief bill instead of a large one. Before all of this, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said in a speech, more relief from Congress is needed to help boost the economy or else face unnecessary hardship for households and businesses. So what comes next? Well, that's anyone's guess at this point. To be continued. Tonight, Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris will take the stage at the vice presidential debate. Both Pence and Harris are already in Salt Lake City, Utah, preparing for their big night. They'll be sitting 12 feet apart from one another on the debate stage behind clear plexiglass dividers. Those dividers and an extra 5 feet of distance were both added as extra precautions since the new coronavirus is circulating through the White House. Although we should note Vice President Pence's team says he's now tested negative several times. Both Pence and Harris will be tested again today. As Reuters reports, the unique face-off could get a lot more attention than vice presidential debates have in the past. That's because never before has a vice president debated while the president is known to be sick with a potentially deadly virus. And both Trump and Biden are two of the oldest people who have ever been or want to be president. The vice presidential debates will air on all major TV networks. It starts at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. A powerful Category 4 hurricane is closing in on a popular tourist area of Mexico. Hurricane Delta is expected to hit Cancun and Cozumel early this morning. That's pretty rare for that region. Only 6 hurricanes have passed within 50 miles of Cancun in the last 100 years. But it looks like Delta is about to make a direct hit. At last check, it was packing 120-mile-an-hour winds, and the National Hurricane Center has warned it could get even stronger. Throughout the day today, the storm is expected to impact Mexico's entire Yucatan Peninsula and Cuba. And Hurricane Delta will not stop there. It's forecast to hit the Gulf Coast of the U.S. by the end of the week. The governors of Louisiana and Alabama declared states of emergency to prep. People are being urged to make their disaster plans now, and mandatory evacuations could come as soon as today. Stay tuned. We have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor this week. We always try to help cut down on your information overload and overwhelm here at The Newsworthy, and our partner, Blinkist, wants to help with that too. It's a unique app that gives you just the best key takeaways that need-to-know information from over 3,000 nonfiction best-selling books in over 27 categories. Blinkist condenses these books down into blinks, which you can read or listen to in just 15 minutes. I love it for when I want to quickly read up on a news-related topic with blinks such as the future home in the 5G era, or when I want to learn something new for my career or hobby with blinks like The Virgin Way by Richard Branson. I only need 15 minutes. Go to Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership and up to 65% off their new option of full audiobooks, which are yours to keep forever. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to get 25% off a premium membership and a 7-day free trial. Now, back to the news. It's being called a blockbuster report. House Democrats and 4 Republicans spent the last 16 months investigating America's biggest tech companies, and they released their findings this week. The report says Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google's parent company, Alphabet, enjoy, quote, monopoly power, and that Congress should think about breaking them up. Specifically, it found the tech giants hurt competition and stifle innovation when they buy out competitors and hold power over the small businesses that use their platforms. So the panel's recommendation is to make it harder for tech giants to buy up competitors. It would also like to see the rules that could force these tech giants to spin off parts of their businesses. For example, that would look like Google divesting from YouTube or Facebook separating from Instagram. Of course, nothing is set in stone at this point. All of Congress would need to come together to approve any real rule changes, and some Republicans have voiced opposition to forcing the companies to break up. But overall, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have said the tech giants should face more scrutiny. So, to be continued. Facebook is banning all pages and groups that openly support the QAnon conspiracy theory. Until now, Facebook had only deleted pages if they encouraged violence. But Facebook says even without those threats, QAnon stirs up mistruths that have real-world consequences. Remember, QAnon is the idea that underground sex traffickers and pedophiles are working in the U.S. government, secretly waging a war against President Trump. The FBI has debunked this theory, though, and even called the group a potential domestic terrorist threat. Meanwhile, Facebook-owned Instagram is rolling out new features to try to prevent online bullying. The first will automatically hide negative comments, and another new feature warns people if their comment is offensive before they post it. The hope is that they'll think twice before hitting publish. The ice cream bar, formerly known as Eskimo Pie, is now getting a new name and image. The maker, Dreyer's, says it's rebranding the popular treat since its current one is known to be offensive toward Native Arctic communities. Starting next year, it'll be called Edie's Pie instead, which is a nod to the company's founder, Joseph Edie. Remember, this is just the latest of several food-related companies to go through a rebranding this year. Well, music fans around the world are saying goodbye to a legendary guitarist, Eddie Van Halen. The Van Halen founder died at 65 years old from a long battle with throat cancer. He's now considered one of the greatest guitarists of all time, known for innovative methods. For example, he popularized a technique known as two-hand tapping. His former bandmates, who are also rock and roll legends, paid tribute to him on social media with pictures and heartfelt messages. The Seattle Storm is this year's WNBA champion. The team swept the number one seed Las Vegas Aces in a best-of-five series that ended last night. And the last game was really a blowout. They beat the Aces 92-59, marking the largest point margin in the history of the WNBA Finals. This year was unlike any other because of the pandemic as well. The team played in a so-called bubble in Florida to prevent outbreaks, just like the NBA. And the league pulled off having an entire season with playoffs without one single positive COVID-19 test. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, thanks to our sponsor, Castle Grade. Castle Grade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95, so you know you're getting that high level of protection. And now Castle Grade masks have a new filter available for smoke-affected areas on the West Coast. It's been independently tested, and the company says the charcoal filters serve a dual purpose for stopping both virus and smoke particles. So you're getting a mask that is safe for both those uses, plus it's a reusable, eco-friendly option. Check out all the options at castlegrade.com and enter the code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com and use the code NEWS10. Okay, so today's Work Wednesday is about how American workers are putting in more hours during the pandemic. A new survey from HR consulting firm Robert Half shows a lot of people are choosing not to take their vacation days, and that's likely for several reasons. 37% of people surveyed say they're not using their PTO until they can safely travel again, while 22% say they're working as much as possible to save money because of the pandemic's uncertainty, and 14% say they simply have too much work to log off. Experts tell Axios this is probably going to lead to burnout if it hasn't already. Companies are trying to get ahead of this, though. The same survey found about 40% of workers said their bosses have urged them to take time off. And that's up from 25% just a few months earlier. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.